Good morning. We are today's daf is daf Samach Tes. We were on Samach Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah had taught that while there's a concept of the impurity of Beis Habliyah, the impurity that's created by swallowing a nevela of a bird, nevertheless, even though Malika is not a shechita, and Malika should create a nevela, but Malika that's done in the Beis HaMikdash does not create a nevela, and the eating of a bird that was killed through Malika, a carbon bird, would not create the impurity on the person who eats it. And the Mishnah went further. Even all sorts of pasul people who do malika, nevertheless, the malika would not engender the impurity for those who would eat it. So if the malika was done with the left hand, it's not a kosher malika. The malika was done at night, it's not a kosher malika. Or, let's say something not holy had a shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. Or kadshim, a bird that was holy, but the malik, outside the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't done with the malika, it was done with the shechita. All these things do not have the impurity if they are ingested. However, if a carbon was taken, a bird carbon was taken, and there was a malika done with a knife the back of the head was chopped off, or chulin, that which isn't holy, were brought into the Beis HaMikdash and malika was done there, or kadshim, that which is holy, and they have a malika done on them outside the Beis HaMikdash. Or if you have torin that aren't old enough, or bnei yona that are too old, and a malika is done on them. Or an animal, a bird whose wings dried out, and a malika is done on it. Or a bird whose eye is blinded, and a malika is done on it. Or a bird whose leg has been cut off, and a malika is done on it. So in those cases, then it is metame beves habliyah. That dead bird, eating from it would make impurity to the person swallowing it. This is the rule, said the Mishnah, called shepsulo bakodesh. If it only got disqualified once it's in the mikdash, through some holy disqualification, but the initial service, it was brought okay, initially it was done okay, then it doesn't have the impurity of eating it. But if the disqualification was already before, let's say it had a blemish, like we just said, it's missing an eye, so then already the malika would not remove it from the status of tumas beis habliya. Let's start again with the Gemara. Amar Rav, Rav said, smol v'layla, if malika done with the left hand or malika done at night, eim etam beis habliya. So then, as we learned in the Mishnah, the bird, if it's then eaten, would not create impurity to the person eating it. Zar, but if the malika is done by a non-kohen, or sakin, or a malika done with a knife, then then the bird was not killed the right way. It's a nevelas of tahar, it's a nevela of a bird. If you eat it, by eating it, by swallowing it, that creates impurity. Now an explanation of Rav's points. Maishna smol, if it was killed with the left hand, with the left thumb, why is it not going to have tum anymore? The answer is, because the left hand is not totally disqualified. On Yom Kippur, you can do service with the left hand. Laila, night, also. It's not totally disqualified. The extra limbs and fats are burned at night. One second. Zaranami. So a non-kohen too. On every kohen he can do shechita. Says the Gemara, shechita lavavodahi. Shechita is not considered a service. Malika is a service. One second. Velo, is that true that shechita is not a service? Amar Reb Zera says about this week's parsha, shechita's para bizar psula. If a non-kohen does the shechita of the para aduma is no good. And Rav himself, the person who's teaching us all these things, explained, because the Pasuk says about Paraduma Elazar, a Kohen, and it says about the Paraduma Zos Chukas Satzora, it's Parshas Chukas, Chuka, it has to be this way. So Gemara says, no, Paraduma is not comparable to anything else. Shiny part of the Kachar Bedek HaBayasi. Paraduma is not even a carbon. Paraduma is holy for the upkeep of the temple. It's not the same level of holiness. So Gemara says, one second, lo kol dechenus, make it a kal v'chomer. Kachar Bedek HaBayas Bokuna. If something which doesn't have the holiness of a carbon needs a kohen. Kachar Mizbeach Mibayas. So certainly that which is much holier should need a kohen. If it's a carbon, it should certainly need a kohen. Amar Rav Shisha Bre Davidi. Rav Shisha, the son of Ravidi, said, no. In Shchitas Paraduma, there's a need for a Kohen, just like examining Tzaras, the Lava Vodihi. That's not a service. By a Kohuna. Nevertheless, it has to be done by a Kohen. So the slaughtering of a Paraduma needs to be done by a Kohen. But Malika, that's already a service. Since Malika is a service, it has to be done by a Kohen, it can't be done by a non-Kohen. Shechita is not a service. So the Gemara now asks, V'nelef mi bama, why do you say that if a Zar does Malika, then Rav said, a Zar who does Malika, that's no good at all. So it's Matam B'vei Sabliya, there's now a Tumas Nevelas Of Tahor. Why don't you say, no, the same way if Malika was done by the left hand, it's somewhat good that there's no longer Tumas Nevela. We should say also, Malika done by Azar is no longer Tumas Nevela because Nelef Mibama. We should learn from the times when we didn't have a Beit HaMikdash after the destruction of Shiloh. We were allowed to put up altars in everybody's backyard. And as Rashi points out, we're going to learn on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph that when there was no law of a central Mizbeach, when everyone could have a Mizbeach in their backyard, everybody also could do the service in their backyard. So you didn't have to have Kohanim. So in the times of the Bamos, you could have had Malika from Zarim, from people who weren't Kohanim. So therefore, we should say even when we have a Beit HaMikdash, if a non-Kohen does the Malika in the Beit HaMikdash, it's true he's not supposed to do it, but it's so somewhat okay, because it was okay in the times of the Bamos. And if it's somewhat okay, it should take away Nevelas of Tar. It should take away the impurity of Nevela. V'nelef mi Bama. So the Gemara says, mi Bama lo yalef. You can't learn from the days of the Bama, because Bama is secular. The Mikdash is holy. You can't learn from that. Hello? We don't learn from Bama. By the time we learned in a Braisa. How do we know that if the mead of a carbon went out of the azara, went out of the courtyard, and then by mistake it was put onto the fire, was put up on top of the altar? Shem alaloye, if it went up to the altar, we don't take it down. The answer is, because in the days that we had a bama, there was no law of within the Azara, because everything was outside, it was in backyards. So there was no law of things being within the Azara. So then Yotze was kosher fully. So even now that we have an Azara, Yotze that goes up onto the altar doesn't come down. So you see, we do learn things from the Bama. So let's learn Malika also from the Bama. And say in the days of the Bama, Malika of a non-coin was fully okay. So now that we have a Beit HaMikdash and we have a Mizbeach, a Malika of a non-coin should be good enough to take away impurity. Answer the Gemara. No, there it's something else. Tana. Azos Torah Sola Samichle. There, the law of Yotzei. The law of Yotze is not based on learning from Bama. That's why if it goes on top of the altar, it doesn't get taken down. That's a different, it's from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Zos Torah Sa'ola. This is the law of the Ola. It sounds like all the Olos are going to be included. And even Olos that are Pasul will go up onto the Mizbeach. But then it said, Zos, this is the law of the Ola. Not all the Olos go up on the Mizbeach. So the answer is, it depends if it's a disqualification that occurred in the temple, like Yotzei, it was slaughtered the right way, the blood was caught the right way, it was thrown the right way, but then there was a disqualification. So that's already included in Zos Torah Sa'ola, and it goes up onto the Mizbeach. Once it's on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. So really, Bama's not the source. It's said that we learn from Bama. It's not that we learn from Bama. We learn from a pasuk. We say we're learning from Bama as a way that you'll remember the law. But we don't really learn anything from Bama.
Yeah, but if you wanted to eat a dove, it's kosher, right?
Yes.
So you have to do shechita on it, yes. Or you can do malika?
No. Malika only works for karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And as we learned, there was a special pasuk that said that a kohen can eat it, because really it's not a kosher shechita. Okay. So that's the view of Rav. So now we've resolved the view of Rav. The view of Rav is that if a non-kohen does malika, there is impurity. We should learn from Bama. We don't learn anything from Bama. How then do we know that which went out of the Azara, if it goes up on the altar, doesn't come down? It's from a pasuk, those Torah Sa'ola. Rabbi Yochanan said, Zar in a mitame abe sablia. If a Zar does the malika, it is a little bit okay. It's good enough that now if somebody ate from this bird, there wouldn't be impurity. However, sakin mitame abe sablia. But if the Kohen kills the bird with a knife from the back, that's never good. So that would create impurity of eating it. Similarly, in our Mishnah, kol apsulin, all the different disqualifications, shemalku, if they do malika, malikasan psula, the malika is no good, but there is no tumah for eating from it. Okay, now, Bishamal Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand according to Rabbi Yochanan, why does it say call all those things, lasu yezar, to include even a non-Kohen doing the Malika? El Rab, but according to Rav, that if a non-Kohen does the Malika, there is impurity. So call lasu yemai. So what's the word call? All the disqualifiers. What's that to include? Lasu ye small velayla, if you're going to tell me it's to include that if a malika was done by the left hand, or if a malika was done at night, even so, it works a bit to remove impurity. But that's not true. I don't need the word kol to include those things. Small velayla behedikatani, the left and the night, it's explicitly in the Mishnah that works a little bit to remove the impurity. So Gemara says, okay. You're right, Tani. First it says, call up Sulim, all those that are disqualified. But nevertheless, their malikas, these faulty malikas work to remove impurity. Father Mefarish, and then it goes on to explain what that means. What that means is left in the night. He's eating unkosher, but there wouldn't be impurity. No, you only bring a karban if you did a sin that on purpose would get ikares. This wouldn't get you ikares. Tashma, come in your proof between the view of Rav and Rav Yochanan whether the malika of a zah removes impurity. It says the Mishnah, Zeh klal, this is the rule, kol shepsula bakodesh. If the disqualification occurred once it was already in the temple, within the service, then already any matami begadim abeis ablia. Then if you eat from it, your clothing is not going to become impure through your swallowing of it. So Bishmal Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand according to Rabbi Yochanan when it says kol. Lasuye zar, to say even if a non-Kohen is the one doing the malika, that's also called a disqualification in the temple. And it removes, and there is no impurity. El Lerav, but according to Rav Lasu Yemai, what's it to include? It says the Gemara, V'litamech, according to your logic. Shaloya Psula Bakodesh Lasu Yemai. When it says, and anything which was not disqualified in the temple, then there is the Tumah of Beis Abliya, because it was disqualified already before, like a blemish. What's that to include? That's, blemishes are said explicitly. Ella, so what I have to say, Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, is Lasuye Shkitas Kachim Bifnim. It's to say that if a bird which was consecrated was brought to the temple, and instead of Malika, Shechita was done on it, then it doesn't have the impurity of Beis Hablia. And safe, and here at the end of the Mishnah, is to say, La'asuye Malika Schulin Bachutz, that if a bird that's not holy had Malika done on it outside of the temple, it is going to create the impurity of Beis Hablia. Okay. But in terms of this argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, Tanya Kavasad Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. The Braisa says explicitly, Molkazar, if a non-Kohen deals the Malika, or Molkapasel, or some other Psul does the Malika. Let's say a Kohen who has a blemish. Or the Malika was done right by a good Kohen, but there was Pigol, there was Nosar, there's Tamei, there was a wrong thought that made it into Pigol, it was left out too long, it became Nosar, it became impure, Eimet Tamina Beis Habliya, it doesn't have the law of Tumas Beis Habliya. So you see here explicitly that a Zar does not have the ability. Once the Zar does it, it did work a little bit, that it doesn't have Tumas Beis Habliya. Yes, this is in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, outside the Beis HaMikdash, we said not. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Shamati Shtayim, I heard two halachos about different disqualifications that once they go up onto the altar, they don't come down. Achas Kmitzas Zar, one is in regards to a Zar who takes a fistful of flour of the Mincha. V'achas Malika Zar, and one in regards to a non-Kohen who severs the head of a bird offering. Achas Teret, one, the law is that it has to come down off the altar. V'achas Loter, the other one, the law is once it goes up, it doesn't come down. Lo Yadan, I don't know which one is which. Amar Chizkiah, Chizkiah said, I'll tell you what. Mistabra Kmitza Teret, I'll tell you what I think. The fistful of flour, it has to come down because it was taken by a non-Kohen. Malika lo terik, but with the bird done by a non-Kohen, it doesn't come down. Maishna Malika, says the Gemara, why would Malika be different? The answer is the Yeshna b'bama, because when we had bamos, then there was no Kohen at all. So then all the Malikas were done with non-Kohen. 1 second, says the Gemara. But Kmitza Nami Yeshna Bibama. But when we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, even the fistful of flour of a mincha could have been done by non-Kohanim. The Chitim, if you're going to tell me, no, but a mincha Bibama. You couldn't bring an offering of flour on the backyard altars. By the way, a Ofos Bibama. Then you couldn't even bring the birds on the backyard altars. Mm-hmm. Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, the Divrei Omer Yesh Mincha Bibama. Only according to the view that says you could bring a mincha on a backyard altar, yeshofos bebama, were you able to bring birds on the backyard altar? But the divrei omer ain mincha, but the one who says that you couldn't bring menachos on the backyard altars, ain ofos, you couldn't bring birds either. My taima, what would be his reason? Because of the verse. The verse says, zvachim, sacrifices, velo menachos, and that if you're going to read it to be sacrifices and not meal offerings, it should also say Zvachim v'lo ofos, sacrifices that are cut by the knife, but not birds.
And Zvachim, I think, just connotes animals, not slaughtering.
It's slaughtering. It's a knife. Not malak. So it can't be malak. Right. Elohemus, what do you have to say? The reason why, if I have to distinguish between Malika and a mincha, I would say a mincha, if it goes on to the altar, has got to come back off if it was done by a non-Kohen. But a malika done by a non-Kohen that goes on the altar doesn't come back off. I'll tell you why. In Kaddish B'Kli Shares B'Mincha B'Bama. That Kemitza has a sanctity in a holy vessel. The fistful of flour is put into a holy vessel. And that you didn't have in the Bamos. So even if you could bring Menachos in the Bamos by non-Kohanim, but they didn't have holy vessels then, you didn't have holy vessels in your backyard, so you can't compare a Mincha that doesn't have a holy vessel to a Mincha with a holy vessel. So that's why you can't learn from the fact that non-Kohanim could bring Menachos on Bamos. Because those were very different Menachos than these Menachos. That a non-Kohen who brings a Mincha in the Beit HaMikdash, b'di'evet, it's okay. If it went up on the altar, it doesn't come down. But birds, you can. Birds are similar to each other. So therefore, birds, once they go on the altar, don't come down, even though the Kemitza, even though the Malika was done by a non-Kohen. But a Mincha, if it's done by a non-Kohen, if it goes onto the altar, it comes down. Said the Mishnah, Malak b'smol, if a Kohen does the Malika with his left hand, Obalailo, or at night, it wasn't a kosher Malika, the carbon's not a kosher carbon, but b'di'evet, after the fact, it's somewhat of an acceptable carbon, if it's on the altar, it won't come down, and therefore it removed tumas beis hablia, the impurity of swallowing.
Does the person have to redo it?
The carbon?
Yeah.
Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught in a brisa. Yachol tehei malika she nasis lifnim mitama begadim beis hablia. I might have thought that every carbon of a bird which gets malika done in the temple, but now the bird, if it's eaten, should create an impurity through swallowing, because after all, it's not a kosher shechita. Tamalom, that's the pasuk says. I'm going to read it. B'chol nefesh asher tochal nevelo treifa, and any soul that eats a nevelo or a treifa, ba'ezach uvager, about a resident or a stranger, v'chives begadav, he needs to immerse his garments, v'rachatz b'mayim, and immerse in the mikvah, v'tamei ad ha'erev etayer, and he'll be impure until evening, and then he becomes pure. So it says, Nevela utrefa. So therefore, Tamaloma, the verse says, Nevela. Since the verse says, Nevela, Hanami Nevelahi, I might have thought that this is a Nevela. After all, it wasn't slaughtered. But then, Ella Tamaloma, then the verse goes on to say, Trefa. So to say like this, Ma trefa, Shein Ma Teresa Isur, trefa is something where the prohibition is not permitted. Of course, Shein Ma Teresa Isur. So when do you have this problem through the eating? You became impure for the day, through the swallowing, for those things which are prohibited and haven't been permitted. But Yatsa Malika, but if your Malika is done in a carbon, Shilifnin in the temple, Holy Ma Teresa Isur, since the Malika does permit the prohibition, therefore, if it's eaten, it wouldn't create impurity. Okay, great. That's the source. That's the source for this amazing idea. That normally, if an animal's not killed, if a bird's not killed the right way, if you eat from that bird, there'd be impurity. So here, Malika's not killed the right way. It's not shechita. It's a special pasuk. It's true, it's not killed the right way, but it's not trefa. It's not like trefa. Since it's not like trefa, it doesn't create impurity. Hevi amolek. So that includes malika. But now, what about if hevi amolek kachim bachutz? But let's say it's a carbon, and outside of the temple, the Kohen does Malika on his bird carbon. So it's not right. That's right. That's right. It's treif. If you put that on the Mizbeach, it'd come down. Or let's say Umolek Chulin, let's say it's a bird that's not holy, And he does malika on it. Beimi bifnim, beimi bachutz. Whether in the temple or out of the temple. Certainly, again, that's a, as Roger says, it's a treifa. So hoil vein matir nesa isur. So here the malikas didn't permit anything. If you put these birds on an altar that come right off, if somebody were to eat from their meat, through the act of eating, he would become, his clothing would become impure. Okay, that's one brisa. Tanya idach, we learned in another brisa. Yachol tehei shchita schulin lifnim. Maybe if somebody slaughters a bird that's not holy in the temple. Or, kachin, maybe b'fin maybe b'chutz, or if he slaughters a bird of kachin in the temple, or out of the temple, then metamna be'sablia, it should still create impurity. The chulin are disqualified because it was chulin slaughtered in the azara, which is wrong. And the kachim are disqualified because they need a malika, and here they were given a slaughter. So maybe these disqualified things would create impurity when you eat from them. Tamalom, that's the verse says, v'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela. U'treifa, ba'ezachu bager, v'kibes begadav. V'rachat ba'mayim, v'tom yadar v'toer, it says nevela. And treifa. So we can say that these things are still not called nevela. Yes, they are pasul, but this was a kasher shchita. So it's not called nevela. Tamaloma nevela. So the Gemara says, one second. Why do you say that? Hanami nevela hi. This is a nevela. If it wasn't slaughtered the right way, it's not mutter bachil, it is a nevela. Ella, no, the verse says Tamaloma treifa. It says nevela utreifa. It's the same ma treifa shavim bifnim bibachut, just like treifa, the disqualification of a hole in the lung. It's the same inside. Whether things happen in the Azara, happening out of the Azara, af kol, so too, nevelos of a bird that create tumats only when shavos bifnim kibachut, when it's the type of problem that's the same inside as it would be outside. To exclude the slaughtering of a bird that's not holy inside. If you do that outside, there's no problem at all. Or kachim, a holy bird, slaughtered inside or outside. The inside's not the same as the outside. So then there wouldn't be any impurity if you eat from it. So Gemara says, one second. Bishlam chulin. I understand if you're talking about a bird that's not holy. Lo shavu bifnim kibachutz. The inside's not like the outside. Because if it's slaughtered inside, then it's no good. Slaughtered outside, it's good. It's not the same. Ela kachim. But if you have a bird that's holy and you slaughter it. One second. Idiv idiv psulim ninu. Whether you slaughter it inside or outside, they're both pasul. So it is the same. Amar Rava. So Rava said, no, it's not. The reason why kachim slaughtered outside don't have the impurity of beis habliyah, it's like this: im ho'ila lo shchita schutz. If the slaughtering outside worked, l'chayv ha'kareis, to make him guilty and have a kareis penalty for offering a korban outside. So therefore, lo toilo, certainly it's considered an act of shchita. The tara midei nevela, to say that the bird is not considered a nevela, that one who eats from it is tamei with nevelas oftar. Okay. Ashkechan. So that's fine. That's a good source for outside. Ashkechan chutz. Fniminon. How do we know that if a kadosh bird is slaughtered inside, it doesn't have tumas nevela? When I said, okay, now ho shavu b'fnim kibachutz. Now the inside's not like the outside. If you're going to say that the inside is tamei, that act of slaughtering a holy bird inside makes the bird now tamei for the one who eats it. So one second, then the inside's not like outside, because outside slaughtering of a kachim is not tamei, and inside it is tamei. So one second, the rest of the yachi, if that's the case. So malak kachim b'chutz namilo. So if you have a holy carbon and you do malika outside on the holy bird, there shouldn't be any tumah, because if you're going to say there's tumah, then lo shavu b'fnim kibachutz. Then inside is not like the outside. Inside, if you do malika on kachim, of course there's no tumah. So if you do, that was, we saw the first, the pasuk. So now if you're going to say that there's tumah for malika on kachim outside, then inside is not like outside. So Amar Rav Simi Barashi answered, Dan in davar shelo bechshero, we can learn out kachim that are being slaughtered. So that's already not done right. Midavar shelo bechshero, from kachim being slaughtered outside, which is also not done right. Ain't done in davar shelo bechshero. You can't compare malika and kachim inside, which is done right, davar shelo bechshero, to davar, to something which is done wrong, a malika and kachim outside. So the Gemara says, "Velo, is that really true that we don't learn one thing from the next?" V'atayin we learned in a brisa. How do we know that meat that goes out of the azara, so it's disqualified, but if it's put on the altar, it doesn't come down? Because in bamos, things went out because there was no azara, and it was still kosher entirely. So one second, but there was kosher. Here, it's not kosher. How can you learn the non-kosher here from there, from that which is kosher? Answers the Gemara, no, we just said that. That's not really the source. Tana, zos Torah Sa'ola, Reba Samachlei. That source of why Yotze, if it goes onto the altar, doesn't come down, it's from a pasuk. Zos Torah Sa'ola, to include all olos, once they go up, they don't come down. The fact that it connected it to Bamos is just Asmachta ba'alma, to help you remember. But really, you can't derive that which is kosher from that which is pasul. That which is done right from that which is done wrong. Mishnah. Malak v'nimtzis treifa. Let's say the Kohen does the malika. He puts his thumbnail into the neck of the pigeon or the turtle dove. He severs it. And it turns out it's a treifa. Every mayor on any time of Reb Sablia. Still, since there was a malika, there's not going to be impurity from eating from it. Reb Yehuda Omer Metamer. Reb Yehuda says it would create tumah on the Beis Ablia. Amar Reb Meir. Reb Meir says Kal Vachomer. I'll give you logic to tell you that there's no tumah here. Im the Velas Behema Shemetamer B'Magav Amasa. When you have an animal that's not slaughtered right, the tumah is much more than just through swallowing. Through touch, it creates impurity. Carrying creates impurity. And nevertheless, Shkitasa, if it was slaughtered, Mitzaheres, Trefasa, even if it turns out to be a Trefa, it's not going to be Tame with Tumas Nevela, Trefasa mitumasa. So Nevela, so when we talk about a bird, Shena Mitame Maguvamasa, doesn't create impurity through touch or carrying. Shena Dinshate, Shkitasa Mitaras, Trefasa mitumasa. So certainly the slaughtering should remove the Trefa from Tumas. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Ma'amatina b'shkita, so she machshirasa l'achila, and further, right? Just like with shkita, he machshirasa l'achila, it makes it allowed to be eaten, umetares treifasa mitumasa, and it removes the treifa from being tamei. Saf melikasa, so in melika, she machshirasa b'achila, since it permits it to be eaten, tetar treifasa midei tumasa, it should remove the treifa from being tamei. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, daya kinevelas behema. If you're going to learn one thing from the next, we have a rule, daya olavim in adin, lios kinidin, it can only be learned like where it's learned from. So just like inevelas behema, shchita samita rasa, inevela of an animal, shchita takes away tumas nevela, not malika. So too, here, it's malika you want to do, so malika doesn't work to take away tumas nevela, below milikasa. So the Gemara asks, Reb Meir lo darish dayo. Reb Meir doesn't interpret dayo. V'dayo do raisi. Dayo, that you can only learn as much as where you're coming from, is a din do raisi. The Tanya, you learned in a raisi. We didn't kalva chomer. Ketzad, what's the source of kalva chomer? V'yomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, I know you're asking that Miriam should be healed. V'via yarok yarak b'faneh alo tikolem shivas yamim. If her father would spit at her, wouldn't she be embarrassed for 7 days? So too, that if Hashem's upset with her, 7 days at least. Kavachomel, 1 second. But if you're saying Hashem is like a father, Kavachomel Lishkin Arbas or Yom. If Hashem's upset, it should be 14 days. The answer is, but no, if you're learning from father, it has to be like father. It has to be only 7 days. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yavin, Rabbi Meir Krash, Kachvedarash. Rabbi Meir has a pasuk, and that is his source. Okay, we'll stop here.